Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Good Grief Girl. I am Dr. Shanae Gilbert.
And I am Kiara Sinead. And we're your hosts for Girl Talk That's You.
Summer break. This has been a summer break.
Yeah.
So it's been a month, probably.
A little over a month, yeah, because we took a COVID break and then we started back, and then for a couple of episodes, and then we took a summer break. So, yeah, it's been just a little over a month.
Which I think is necessary. And I remember one day, and we actually should discuss this. First of all, the podcast is... I don't think it's a lot of work, but it does require some commitment, especially when you are in a position where you're trying to help someone. We're not here to entertain. We don't have an
Correct.
Entertainment mm-hmm. podcast. So we have a heart for service, and we truly want to uplift people and encourage them. And you have to be in a particular headspace when you take on
mm-hmm.
that type of role. So it's like, you know, we
mm-hmm.
have to be as encouraging as we can be personally when we, you know, come before people. So I think for me personally, I needed that break because I'm very guarded when it comes to my spirit and my space and, you know,
mm-hmm.
allowing my energy to be receptive to people and in a position
mm-hmm.
where I can actually shine a light and I don't show up in darkness. So I needed that break to rejuvenate, to refresh. I did some reading and
mm-hmm.
some speaking. So I got involved. I think to recharge my spirit so that I'm not pouring
mm-hmm.
for an empty cup is what we like to say, you know. So it was very
right.
necessary. And you and I had this discussion one day when we first started the podcast, we were very committed. So we made sure we showed up every week. And I remember feeling bad the first time that I wanted to cancel. And your response
mm-hmm.
was, we're human. You know, so we can't
uh-huh.
expect to be on, you know, 100 every week. So I think
uh-huh.
you giving us that space to, or that grace, I'll call it, to be human was important. And I want our listeners to understand that when you commit to anything, make sure you're honest about your capabilities and self-care. We talk about self-care all the time.
Oh, my gosh. I've been so great with that. Yeah.
Yeah. And see, we like to think self-care is about going to get a manicure and a pedicure and a massage, but sometimes self-care means just saying, no, I can't do that. And without giving a long explanation and, you know, writing a dissertation, I just don't want to. I need a break. And sometimes self-care is a simple no.
Right.
And I think that's what we have to do.
A simple no. And it's okay to just sit and do nothing sometimes.
Yes.
Because I know with me, one another area that I need to work on with me is how to shut my brain off. I have not mastered how to shut or turn my brain off because I'm always thinking. When I lay
mm-hmm.
down and go to sleep, I don't reach the deepest level of sleep. I know I don't.
Really?
Because
mm-hmm.
I know I don't. I go to bed thinking about tomorrow
mm-hmm.
Or what I got to do that week. Like, I am a planner. I'm a future planner. So if something is at the back of my mind and I'm like, oh, how am I going to do this? Or what
mm-hmm.
if I do it this way? Or I want, like, I need to learn how to turn my brain off.
Yeah.
Or turn my thinking off. I don't think that's the right terminology, but I hear people using it, but I haven't mastered that yet. So I want to do some brain exercises and some meditation
mm-hmm.
exercises to help with that because I'm like, man, I'm always thinking. I'm always
right.
thinking. And I'm like, I don't know how to turn it off. It's not that I can't. I just don't know how. So I
mm-hmm.
need to train my brain on how to do that.
I'm actually the same way, and one of my downfalls is that I'm a researcher. So if I have a thought, I immediately pick up my phone and start researching, like how to do it, what has been done in the past, what steps I need to take. And that happens to me a lot at night. So what I started doing, especially during COVID, as a part of my personal self-care and me just trying to come out better than I did when I went into this pandemic, is that I've cut off, like I set an alarm on my phone where it tells me that it's bedtime. And once it's bedtime, my phone is disabled, or it goes to sleep, I believe, where it silences all my phone calls, text messages, all of my notifications. And I have forced myself not to pick up my phone. And I've been so tempted.
Oh, wow.
It was very it was very hard for me at first, because I'm like you, I lie in bed at night and I have all these thoughts and these visions and these ideas. And I want to know how to get it done, like right that moment. So it's not a make a note and then pick it up tomorrow. No, I want to know from start to finish, 2 o'clock in the morning, how can I get this done? And I realized that it was adding to what you just described, that exhaustion, because I would wake up extremely tired, and it's because I never actually went to sleep.
Right.
And Apple Watch, I don't know, do you have an Apple Watch? Apple Watch, actually, I turned it off because
I was
not excited about the results, but it measures your sleep, where it can determine, I'm assuming it's based on your heart rate, that it monitors to determine when you go into a deep sleep. And I never met that mark. So I actually turned mine off. I probably should turn it back on. But but it was evident that, girl, you are not getting a good night's sleep. And I paid for my, you know, just fogginess throughout the day, not fresh thought,
not
because
that,
I was exhausted.
I was listening to, okay, so I get these emails. Have you ever received the emails where you have to watch a 30 to 40 minute video? If the title of the email piques your curiosity, you would sit there and watch the 30 to 45 minute video just for them to get. You never watched it? I've done it twice. And so this particular one, I've done it two different times. This particular one, I forgot the name of the supplement, but he's a doctor. He's a nutritionist, and he teaches at the University of, and he was stating that he was doing meal plans and making dietary decisions and for his clients and stuff. And he started going through mood swings and gaining weight and not just waking up tired. He said when he hooked his stuff up to a machine, he never, I think it's REM 4.
Yeah.
I think that's a
it is REM.
Okay. He said he never, ever reached REM 4 or the one right before that. He said never. He said that's why he woke up so tired. He said, and that has a big what is the word I'm trying to use? That has a lot to do with gaining weight. That has a lot to do with fatigue. That has a lot to do with other issues like heart issues and things of that nature that you wouldn't normally think of. I was like, so I was like, man. So I was going to order the supplements, but I get so sidetracked that I hadn't had time to do so. And he said, what this does is it helps you fall into a deeper sleep, and also it helps with your ability to want to snack all the time. Or, you know, how sometimes you're not hungry, you don't want a meal, you just want a snack. You just want to snack. Which is not good. This helps with all of that. So I went on course. I've been going to YouTube because YouTube got videos for everything. and I found some reviews on it, and people have been pleased with it. So I bookmarked it. I have to go back to it. But back to what you were saying with the sleep is that's something that I don't know when the last time I've had a good deep sleep. I've had a good deep sleep. I just don't remember when it was.
For me, it would be in the daytime. When I have my naps, those usually turn into some of my best sleep. I have to be actually to a point of exhaustion. And it's either I'm exhausted.
Naps?
Yeah. I take naps.
See, maybe I need to start back taking naps. I haven't taken a nap, and I don't know when.
Oh, yeah, I have to, especially recently. So, again, another good thing that has happened for me during COVID is that I started exercising. So, but I've been forcing myself to get up in the morning and go walking.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my challenges originally when I first started was that I would be tired or I'm like, I want to sleep. So I challenged myself to go ahead and get in my exercise. And if I needed to take a nap afterwards or later in the day, I gave myself room to do that. So that's actually what has been happening for me. So I'll get up in the morning and exercise. And then sometimes I need a nap, some days I don't. But the days that I do, it's some of my best sleep.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it's a matter of finding what works for you.
That's true. Maybe I need to, the thing is, the summer would have been the best time to, I have dozed off, but I didn't consider that a nap. So I guess it was a nap. I don't have time to take naps when I'm, like, in a school building because we get out late and, you know. But I guess the summer would be the time to do that, a spring break. My neighbor and I, we started walking Memorial Day weekend. So we only take Sundays and Wednesdays off. Like today we couldn't go because it was raining this morning. So we walked the subdivision twice, which gives us 2.5 miles. And a lot of days we don't feel like getting out there because we start at 6:15 in the morning. And now pushing it back to 6:30 because it's still dark now.
Dark.
It wasn't dark at first, but I guess the time is about to change in a few months. So it's starting to, you know, adjust itself. So we're pushing it back 15 minutes to 6:30. So we don't feel like it. She'd be like, okay. I said, you know, she's over 50 and I'm approaching 50. So I'm like, I said, one of my trainers said we need to do interval training, you know. So we do light post to light post. We jog from light post to light post and then you walk. Every time you get to a light post, you jog. And so some days we do it. That's what he told me to do that. He said, if you can't jog all the way, mix it in with walking. And so that's how we do it. When we approach a light post, we jog from light post to light post, and then we'll walk. And then the next one, we'll jog again. So now we're kind of mastered it where we'll start jogging, which light post we'll start jogging at, and which light post we'll stop at or whatever. But my point is we encourage one another. Because it's a lot of mornings we drag. We like, oh,
right.
But let's get this over with, you know. And
you feel better afterwards, don't you?
You do. I'm a morning. I like working out in the morning versus the afternoon. And we've mastered the walk in like 40 minutes. We're back in our homes at 7 a.m. You know, we're both back
see,
in our homes
I
at
like.
7 a.m.
And I think that what we're mentioning
you have to
is
do
one
it.
Of those. And I think what mentioning, which we've discussed in previous episodes, is during this difficult time, we will not for any second minimize the severity of the days that we're living in. We have people who are losing family members. I mean, people around us are actually dying. People have lost jobs and homes, you know, relationships that are ending. You have ongoing health issues. And then there's just the anxiety of not knowing what's going on. And, you know, it is definitely life changing, I think, what we're dealing with. And we're all waiting to go back to normalcy or a normal period that I personally don't think is ever going to happen. I think things are going to change for us going forward. However, during these difficult times, you have to challenge yourself to find the joy in the moment, or what can you be grateful for, or what personal changes. And it doesn't have to be something major. It can just be something small to help you get through this time period, something that you may have been wanting to do that you didn't have time to do, like read a book. I started reading more. I didn't have time before. So it's small things that I think if you're smart, that you'll just take advantage of some of the downtime. And if you're stressed out, when I first started walking, this was years ago, It was my therapist who suggested that I get outside, because at the time I was walking inside the house on a treadmill, and she suggested that I get outside the house so that I can be mm-hmm. out in the elements, and talked about right. the therapy that takes place because you're outside breathing in fresh air, and it worked. So it's small mm-hmm. changes mm-hmm. that we can make, especially now that, you know, if those of us who are practicing social distancing and we're following the guidelines and staying home and not visiting people, there are real side effects to that, to being stuck in the house all the time.
That's true.
To being told to quarantine true. Or stay at home does not mean to stay locked in your house. You can actually get out if you can, you know, to your neighborhood, mm-hmm. to, if not a local park, because a lot of the parks are even closed, but even a trail. There's just so right. many different things you can do to get out, to get some fresh air, to improve your mental and emotional health. And that's what happened to me. I'm like, I need to get out the house. Like, I'm tired mm-hmm. of looking at my husband and my son. I need to see other people. If it's just walking past somebody on the street and waving hi, I got a lot of joy out of that. It's just nice to see somebody else other than the people that's right. in the house True. With me. So, you know, you really True. Have to find little things that work to help you get through this difficult time. And even if it's just True. Trying to reimagine what life will look like afterwards, or some of the goals that you would like to achieve, if not now, at least afterwards, give yourself something to look forward to. And I think that's important.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Which ties into the topic for
yes. Which is a good
one. You know?
So we're talking about going back to school. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm sure anyone who has listened to our show, one, you know that Shanae is an educator. So we do a lot of talking about school and education. And I think the landscape of our educational system, one, I think COVID has exposed every hole that is in our education system. We knew it existed. We probably didn't want to fess up to it. We didn't want to face it. We didn't want to recognize it. We didn't want to call it what it really is. But one thing COVID has done is exposed all of the gaps in our, especially our public school system. So this whole mm-hmm. Back to school routine that we're in the midst of, Jesus, girl. I'm a parent, and my husband is an educator, so I'm heavily mm-hmm. involved in my son's school more than I ever thought I would be. But mm-hmm. but I've learned a lot. I mean, I've learned so much over the past, because he's going to the second grade, and I've learned so much about education, the needs, and mm-hmm. Just things I never knew existed. Because, of course, like most things in life, you view life through your personal experience and the lens that mm-hmm. you have access to. But what happens when you become involved, you start to meet other people whose experiences are a lot different than yours. Their needs are different
right.
than yours. So it just opened my eyes to so much. So I'm so glad that we're having this discussion. One, because I think we've discussed in the past the need to have empathy, that we have to view the world outside of ourselves. When we talk about community, mm-hmm. we're talking about your neighbors, you know, the kids that your child plays football with, and other youth sports, and the kids at the church, the kids that you run into at the grocery store, your coworkers, you know, the girls in the hair salon, the nail salon. We have to
right.
start to think of ourselves as a community, so that we're concerned mm-hmm. about people other
because
than
everybody
those
is not,
affected.
Everybody is not okay. Everybody
no.
is not okay.
And right. we have to be concerned
so,
about other
right.
people.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because my principal made a good point. She said, y'all, you know, be mindful. Everything was about empathy. Be empathetic. She said, be mindful when you passing or see one of your coworkers, because, you know, they had us in the building. We've been working mm-hmm. from home now since last Thursday. Okay, I'm not going to get into that. But we reported mm-hmm. to the building Monday through Wednesday. And she said, you know, smile, because you don't know what someone is going through. She said, at the
yeah.
beginning of COVID, we knew nobody who had it. She said, but I bet
mm-hmm.
you know somebody now. I said,
mm-hmm.
yep.
Yeah.
Sure do know somebody who's had it, and more, you know, or people that have had it. She said, so everybody's not okay. So make it a habit to smile or say, hey, how you doing? Or, hey, just a simple hi. She said, because you never know that the simplest things in life can brighten someone's day.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, that is true. That is
yeah,
true.
Yeah, and the anxiety of feeling.
Break.
Yes. And too, I want to talk about the anxiety of, oh, it's just a matter of time before I get it. Because I had that issue because I shared with my close friends that I went to a doctor's. It actually wasn't a doctor's appointment. I had to go to the pharmacy to pick up a prescription because they have been failing at my mail order prescriptions. Okay, so I had to go into the pharmacy last week. When I tell you I almost had a panic attack, the thought of going, I'm not a panicky person. I'm not, that's not my normal, you know, that's not a normal character trait for me. Cool when it comes to stressful situations, I'll say. But I was terrified because I kept thinking, okay, it's just a matter of time before it happens to me. And then amongst my family, I'm probably the I have the highest risk. So I'm the last person that needs to get it. So I was just so anxious, and I actually had to talk myself through the pharmacy, and it was I kept saying to myself, if I feel this way, I can only imagine how some of our educators may feel, because everyone isn't healthy, everyone isn't, you know, we all don't have the best circumstances at home.
That's,
you know, we have teachers who have kids. I mean, we have all these different scenarios, and there has to be some anxiety attached to this decision that, oh my God, I have to go into this building where I'm putting myself at risk. I might have parents at home that I have to return to, you know, a spouse. We have people who have, you know, who have survived cancer, and now we have to, you know, take our germs back to them. So there are just so many risk factors. So I'm glad that we're having this discussion today. And we do have a special guest who's going to join us. But we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll go ahead and start our discussion for tonight, which we're going to talk about to school reimagined, what this new school year will look like, and how our educational system may possibly change going forward. So you're tuned into the Good Grief Girl Show, and we'll be back right after this message. Hey, we're back.
And you're listening to the Good Grief Girl Show on Blog Talk Radio. Before we went to break, Kiara and I were discussing what we did while on break, and it led into our discussion of this COVID-19, how it has impacted our lives, how it has affected our lives or our daily routine and things of that nature. And we have a big, big, great discussion here for this evening titled Back to School Reimagined. Back to School Reimagined. Who's our guest this evening here?
We have Miss Aaliyah Brown, who is a public school counselor. She has over 32 years where she's been employed with Atlanta Public Schools. I have worked personally with her, well, not as an employee, but as a parent, and I love her spirit. Miss Brown has 20 years experience as a school counselor, which is so important, I think, for not just our discussion today, but I love her spirit, always a cheerful face, a bright energy, and I think it was important for us to include her in today's discussion. Miss Brown comes from a family of educators, which I think speaks to her commitment to the severity or the importance of the role that education plays in our lives. So, Ms. Brown, are you here on the Good Grief Girl Show?
Yes, I am. Hi, ladies. Hey. How are you?
Hello, Ms. Brown.
Oh, wait.
Hi. Oh, I love it.
So thank you so much for accepting our invitation to join us today. This is a very good conversation. What we try to do here, So what we try to do here at the Good Grief Girl Show is talk about, of course, important and serious discussions or topics. Mm-hmm. But we try to, of course, our personalities play a role in, you know, the lightheartedness that you'll often find on our episodes. But we want to make these conversations easy to have, or easier to have, I'll say. And we like to talk from our personal experience, of course, but it's always great to have guests with us who are attached to whatever it is that we're discussing. And I think you're a great role model, Ms. Brown. So tell us a little bit about your personal and professional experience and how it has definitely, I would imagine, shifted during the pandemic.
So it's so interesting. I was really enjoying your conversation before I came on, because everything that you were talking about, I have spent quite a bit of time learning about and actually preaching and doing conferences on, especially when it comes to mindfulness and self-care. So for the past 4 years, I have been traveling and doing conferences and practicing self-care. So as I was listening to you all, I was glad to hear that you had taken the time to really engage in those practices during this time of COVID.
Yeah.
And so that's one thing that I have been practicing throughout since we've been out of school since March, making sure that, to be honest with you, I'm exercising 2 to 3 hours per day, if not more.
Really?
I was very focused. Yes, ma'am.
Come on,
I was very focused
on.
look, ladies, I was doing effect fitness with my husband downstairs today, and he was more winded than I was. And he said, "Oh, I." It was funny, but anyway. But yeah. Personally, I've really adjusted well, and I'll say this, you know, everyone's situation is different. I have two adult children, so I have no children in my home. They have their own homes, and fortunately, they both were working, have been working from home, so I haven't been worried about their own safety. I am somewhat introverted, so being at home and doing things around the house and catching up on Netflix shows and things like that, and like you said, reading books, that's something that I've enjoyed all throughout the summer. And then also I've spent a ton of money, because now that I'm in my home and I'm seeing things in my home and spending more time here, I'm actually buying more things for the house, you know, working on projects here. But it's things that had to be done anyway, so it was the time to do it. As far as professionally, I kind of felt like we were going to be returning to the virtual classroom. As the numbers continue to climb throughout the summer, and especially in Fulton County, I just felt like I didn't see us returning to school, or we may have gone into the hybrid model. So I've been doing a lot of research this summer on the virtual classroom, how to engage children more on the computers. And so I've taken some classes and I've done some research and even created many virtual classrooms to share with students. So I've been kind of anticipating and preparing for that.
That's great. When you talk about self-care, because I think self-care is one of those buzzwords that we hear often. And I love how we each shared how we care for ourselves, which it actually shows how it is different for each person. And not it's not different for each person. Your needs change. Like some of the things that I, the things that I needed at the start of COVID, I don't need now. Because I'm actually more comfortable now than I was at the very start. So I'm a little more comfortable now getting out the house, walking. For the first, I think, 2 or 3 weeks, we were so paranoid. We didn't want to leave the house at all. So it's important when we talk about self-care that you not just create a plan that works for you, that you even create one that allows yourself to be flexible, that, you know, your needs will change. You know, some days self-care is about lying in bed, you know, for an extra 2 hours, or like you said, watching Netflix. You know, I've watched probably more TV than I've probably did in the last 10 years, I think, because I haven't, I just didn't, I wasn't interested or I didn't have time. But, you know, it's little things like that. You just have to do what works for you. Oh, and one thing I want to mention, I have become a little mini Martha Stewart, so I've taken up gardening. Yeah. So that's one other little thing that I've started. But you really have to do, you know, find out what works for you when it comes to self-care. There isn't a wrong way to do it. So I love that we've actually discussed that and we've each shared how we're caring for ourselves.
Right. Definitely. And it's funny you said that, Kiara, because I think a lot of people have planted gardens this year. So many people have, when you go to Home Depot, especially when they started opening the stores back up, Home Depot and Lowe's was packed. And things were just, they were selling out because everyone was doing things in their yards and building their gardens. Even my husband built a chicken coop over the summer. We had 12 chickens.
No.
Oh, wow.
That's too much. What?
Wow. He's determined to have his own age.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. So you're going to be selling eggs soon?
Nah, he's determined he's going to keep his eggs. So it seems like we're going to have a lot of eggs, though, with 12 chickens.
Right, right.
Oh, wow.
I may have to share with you all.
But that's great, though. That's a good activity. And that's one of those things that, especially this happened with me when I started gardening, that you don't realize. You know how you don't realize you need something until you actually start doing it? And I'm like, I never knew that I needed this. And it actually helped me with my morning routine because now I need to get up in the morning to water the flowers. So, and it became my time alone because I'm awake before everyone else wakes up. And the early mornings, the sky just looks different. The air smells different. So it became something that was extremely enjoyable for me, and I didn't expect that to happen.
I've heard when people tend to garden, it's a type of soothing feeling they get when their hands touch the dirt, the earth, and cultivating that and planting and all of that. They said it's a soothing feeling. It calms them.
Mm-hmm.
They call it.
And you know, plants are living things, and they actually respond. And you can see them when they perk up during the sun, how they close up when it starts to rain to actually protect themselves. Mm-hmm. I've noticed all of this in the past 2 months from my little gardening exercise. I'm like, wow, it's pretty amazing, because of course we tend to think of living things as ourselves, you know, as a human,
right.
not recognizing that plants are living things and they have their own ecosystem. So it's actually very intriguing to watch how they operate. So I've enjoyed that. So that's my little Martha Stewart moment for anyone that wants to take up gardening. Yes.
Have you enjoyed the fruits of your labor?
I have. Oh no, not yet. I'm thinking after the summer.
Oh, you haven't gotten anything yet?
Yeah, not yet. No.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure you'll enjoy it.
I may get into it probably next year, because I want to start growing like my own aloe.
Mm-hmm.
And one more other plant, but yeah, because I've never had a green thumb, so that's something that I'm willing to try out. Yeah.
And I didn't either, Sinead. But prior to this, I didn't. I did a lot of reading. And, of course, you know, there's a YouTube for everything. Mm-hmm. There has to be a YouTube for a brain surgery, because I swear everything is on YouTube. But I've been on YouTube, and that's how I learned it. I'm like, okay, it works. So, yeah.
I think people have developed a lot of crafts and ideas during this break. I know people who are making T-shirts, who are making jewelry, who are doing just a variety of things, creative things that they've come up with during this time just to be active.
Right. And it's equally important if starting businesses, writing books, and I think I want to make sure that we mention that it's equally important for you if you can't do any of those things, that it's okay if you can't start a new business. For some people, the goal is to get out alive. I'm not trying to get out with a new business, losing 15 pounds. I may very well gain 15 pounds. Whatever it is, I think it's important that we all survive. And again, when we talk about self-care, it's about doing what works for you in this moment, what is best for you. For some days, having a hot meal is survival. That was enough. That was self-care. I made sure that I had a meal today. I made sure I took a shower. You know, so, I mean, whatever it is for you, there is not a right or wrong way. It doesn't have to be something big and grand. It can be something extremely small. So we do want to make sure that we continue to make that note, that you have to do what's best for you. Because I think there is some pressure to do things a certain way, that there is a right way. Because we talk about this, especially when it comes to grief, that there's this perception that there's a right way to grieve, that there's only one way to grieve. No, you do it your way, whatever works for you, understanding that what works for you this week can apply 2 or 3 weeks from now. Or you may have to go back to something that you were doing previously. So we want to make sure that our listeners understand that you have to give yourself grace to tend to your current need, whatever it may be.
True enough.
Yeah. Go ahead, Shanae.
Oh, no, I was just about to lead into it as well, because when you talk about grief, I told you that this is a great topic because it is a huge change for our students and teachers and parents. And to some, it's a loss, because they may feel like they're losing out on social interaction or that one-on-one attention, or just that feel of belonging with your peers or in that environment. So this is indeed an adjustment for a lot. Not for me, because, you know, I work from home. I taught online for 10 years, so I'm in my element. I lose it quick before my coworkers or my colleagues who were used to going into the building for 10, some of them are newer, so 10 plus years of their lives, they're like, what do we do? You know, how long am I supposed to be on the computer? Or how, like, they were all over the place, you know. And so you have parents now, as you've seen, that are protesting Some signs say my living room is not for Zoom. They think that their child belongs in a face-to-face environment, and, you know, they want to see the data. You know, it's just a big mess because I'm like, okay, parents have their opinions, but what about the people who teach them? What about us?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just a big third part. It's like a big cycle. Everyone needs one another to do their job, but we have to meet in the middle because you're saying they belong in the classroom. Well, you have to remember some teachers have their elderly family members living with them. Some teachers have underlying mm-hmm. health issues. Some teachers, you know, it's just, it's to me, it's too soon to be back in the building. That stuff is airborne. People can't even track what they had for lunch yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You need to go back 3 weeks. How can you go back 3 weeks to track who you've been around? You don't know. We
right.
pass people by wherever we're going, and we don't know them necessarily. So it's like, no, it's too soon. That's
mm-hmm.
my opinion. It's too soon to be back in the building.
Yep.
I agree with you on that. I do think that once school starts and we have children that are in the classroom, that
mm-hmm.
we're going to start seeing spikes in numbers, and we're going to
start
hearing about schools being affected. And then next thing you know, everybody's going to go back into shutdown mode.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And that worries me too.
So if a child should test positive, does that particular one class or the six classes that the student has, because I'm in middle school, do all of those classes have to quarantine for 14 days, or are you going to shut down the entire school because you don't know who that student's come in contact with? It's like, no.
Exactly.
So, yes, I think I'm in Cobb County. So I think Cobb County, I think the superintendent, he talked about that in his kickoff speech Friday. He was like, I've been called every name in the book, he said, but yesterday, which would have been Thursday, because we had the kickoff meeting on Friday, he said, somebody called me the devil.
He said,
I'll take that. He said, you could call me many more devils. He said, we make our decisions on data, and they get it from the Cobb and Douglas Health, Public Health. And he said, we have 113,000 students in this school system. He said, the mask only protects so much, guys. It really doesn't
mm-hmm.
protect that much, but it's a barrier of some sort. He said, if the particles that leave a person's mouth go into the air, you have 15 minutes for it. Something dealing with 15 minutes. He said, who wants to put, I'm not putting students and teachers through that.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I can't even tell you what I had for lunch the previous day, and I'm supposed to track it back 3 weeks. He said, no. He said, call me every name in the book. He said, no, we made a decision to push the start date back and to start online. He said, just makes sense.
It does.
I'm like, thank you.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
it does.
I think, they're not going to make everybody happy, because if they had decided to open up school and have full school, you're going to have a number of people who are going to be upset about that. So they're not going to be able to please everyone.
That's true.
No, not at all.
But I don't even think teachers, they had us going back. Well, the plan still is, as of today. They always say as of today because the plan steadily changes. They wanted us to teach from our classroom. So we were going, we reported back to the building Monday through Wednesday, but something happened. And we would see the late email stating that as of now, you will be working remotely from home. So even going to the building to teach from my classrooms is a waste of time to me. I'm like, no. I mean, because we're still in the building with, it's 100 and something faculty members. Really?
Right.
You're going to pass by one another at some point. It's stressful being in the building already. You just don't know.
Mm-mm. It's extremely risky, and I think when it comes to the data and making the decision, the risk, when you weigh the risk, even if you make the wrong decision, at least you're making that decision. The goal is to save a life. So that if I had an issue with those who are against, a lot of the virtual learning or taking being extremely safe with wearing masks. And even if we find out that the mask was a waste of time, at least we attempted to save a life versus us not wearing masks or everyone, you know, going back to school. And then, you know, we have kids getting sick and parents and teachers start to drop dead. You know, why take that risk? Why not, you know, err on the side of life?
Right. So, Ms. Brown, what would you say to teachers? What advice would you give to help teachers, you know, amplify their voices as the school year begins? Because a lot of teachers have felt slighted, like they didn't have a say.
So what I would say to teachers, this is interesting because we had a virtual faculty meeting the night after our superintendent spoke. And we had some teachers, especially those who have children, that are really feeling this because they're wondering how they're going to be engaged all day long on the computer with children when they have their own children sitting right next to them that they're having to help them with their learning. And one in particular, she has a baby and two children. And so I watched the different meltdowns. I watched, you know, we all tried to comfort one another. And fortunately for us, for Atlanta Public Schools, I don't know how the other districts are doing things, but they're willing to allow teachers who have children to not report to work and still be paid because they understand that those teachers are not going to be able to serve the children well when they have background and other things going on behind them. And so they have where the teachers, if you have senior, you know, at home or some other things going on that you really can't work, they will pay you for that, which is good. And so we were telling the teachers, take advantage of that. What other district is doing something like that? You go ahead and take advantage. You teach your children who are home with you. You take care of your babies. And when it's time for us to where we can return or something different happens, then they can reevaluate that. So we were able to comfort those on that in that faculty meeting and give them some suggestions. Many of them don't want to give up their classes. They want to come back in and teach. But you got to weigh family first, and then you got to look at those that you're having to teach. And it's true because in the spring, we had teachers who had to stop and pause because the kids were talking in the background or, you know, so they weren't able to deliver the best lessons, too. And so, and, you know, there's other suggestions, too. So I have talked and comforted a lot of teachers in the past couple of weeks who are trying to figure out how this is going to look for them and try to advise them. And they've got to do what's best for them. It goes back to self-care. What's best for you? Yeah, you got to get paid. Now, if you're in a situation where you don't have those options like APS has, look, I went on. Are you all familiar with the Nextdoor app?
Yes.
It's a community app. So I was on Nextdoor the other day, and there are huge areas on there where people are offering to tutor children at home. Some people have set up socially distanced areas in their basement or had a trailer in their yard, and they're creating classrooms. And these parents are starting to get together in small groups and come up with creative ways where they can continue to go to work and then have someone to help their children get through their schooling during the day. You know, even one group of five parents got together and one day a week, they would stay home with the children while the other parents went to work, and they were rotating it. Their plan is to rotate it during the week. I thought that was a really great idea.
I saw that on the news.
But you're limiting, and you all would not believe the numbers. I mean, I sat for a couple of hours and just read through just all that they had posted, retired teachers, tutors, nurses, who want to keep little babies for parents while they're at work. So I think it's about there are ways out there. You got to be You got to go out there. You got to communicate with people. You got to talk to others. You have
That's
to share
true.
What's going on with you. And then sometimes you can find out from others that you share with some much needed information that could be beneficial to you.
Yes. And whatever you're experiencing, you more than likely are not alone. Whatever your circumstances
Definitely.
Are, as soon as you communicate it, you'll start to realize that you'll start to connect with everyone who has or people who have similar needs as you. So now that's how we can create these little co-ops. And I think that's why it's important to not strive to go back to what it used to be. A lot of times we are stressed out because
right.
things aren't returning to quote unquote normal when actually the universe is trying to push us into this new normal. And I think what you're describing is what's happening. That's our new normal. Now we have these smaller classroom sizes that we've all been desiring. The teacher may not look like we expected it to look, or may not be who we anticipated it being, but that's where we're moving towards. You know, and I think it has to become this concerted effort between our educational system and corporate America and the other industries that our parents and teachers and spouses work. Those industries that they work in, there has to be this concerted effort now where we're actually working together. And that, again, is a part of that community effort where we have to pull our resources so that we can now educate our kids, because one parent may need to go to work at night, or we have parents who are essential workers. Being that now teaching is an essential worker. So, you know, we have to be concerned with each other and our needs. And you brought up a very good point, Ms. Brown, that I think it's important to communicate what those needs are so that the help that
right.
you need or the gaps that need to be filled, they can be filled. But you have to communicate what your needs are.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You're
right.
so right about that.
Are there any discussions?
Go ahead.
Are there any discussions that you think parents should be having to kind of gauge where their children are, how they're handling some conversations that we should be having to prepare our children for the change that they're actually living through?
So for those children who will be home, and this is so important, especially after watching what occurred during the spring, there need to be expectations put in place. And the kids need to understand that this is still school. Just like they're walking into the building every day for school, that is what they're going to be doing each day. And the expectation is to be engaged, complete the work, ask for assistance if you need assistance. Now, one of my coworkers just told me today that her four-year-old is starting pre-K today. And I said, how are you going to, you know, what's your plan for teaching and for your baby to learn? She said that her daughter is going to have a backpack. When they get up in the morning, they're going to sit and eat breakfast. Her daughter's going to put on her backpack with her lunch in her backpack. She's going to walk over to her area that's set up in her bedroom for learning, unpack her book bag, put it on the back of her chair, log in to who she's supposed to be meeting with, and be engaged in her lessons all during the time that she's online. At lunchtime, she's going to pull out her lunchbox. She's going to sit and eat her lunch. And then afterwards, whatever needs to be done, she's going to complete it. And she is the mother, when she gets offline, she's going to go check and make sure her child has done all of her work, go back over it with her, help her with anything that may need assistance with, and then help her prep for the next day. So it's about parents talking to kids about expectations, helping them to set goals for the day and for the school year, and making sure that they're on a schedule. Get up in the morning, get dressed, eat your breakfast, go get online. If parents are not there to help them, then to make sure that they're printing their schedule, especially for the middle and high, printing their schedules out, having copies of their schedule so they can pop in and maybe visit the class just to make sure that, you know, everybody's on the same page. But parents are going to have to be more engaged with their students,
mm-hmm.
and then
yep.
help them build, set their goals and their expectations. Because you all, back in the spring, I'm telling you, we saw children, they missed classes because they overslept. They were laying mm-hmm. in the bed while they were trying to, you know, be online
yeah.
with their teachers.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
They
were
under
the bed.
They weren't even trying to get up on my end.
Yes. I had to tell children to go get dressed, that they were inappropriately dressed, go get dressed and come back to the session. You know, so it's about setting up a schedule and making sure that they understand that they are in school. And they need to get the work done so that they can move forward into the next grade level. So I've been preaching that a lot with parents, making sure that they get their, you know, have them up, get them up at 7, have them eat their breakfast and be online at 8 o'clock. Because this
mm-hmm.
year it's going to look a lot different. The kids are going to be
right.
online for 4 to 5 hours a day. They're going to have breakout
right.
sessions, small group sessions. So some of the way that the schedule looks, I'm kind of excited because these kids really have an opportunity to meet in small groups with,
mm-hmm.
you know, the teachers and certified staff. And I'm kind of interested in seeing how this is going to look because I saw the schedule today and it really looks like a doable schedule where these children can grow and thrive if it's done right. So,
yeah, that is. I love those suggestions. I'm personally going to implement these because I'm one of the parents who did slack. I was extremely concerned about my son's emotional health because he was
mm-hmm.
he responded. He actually was a little terrified when because he viewed, or I would say he explained COVID as a thing that you could maybe not see, but him being someone who loved to go outside and play, we could not get him out to leave the house. He
mm-hmm.
thought that outside our four walls, there was coronavirus. So well, he started out calling it coronavirus. At some point, he moved to its scientific name, and now it's COVID-19. But he kept saying, he's like, no, I can't go, because I tried to get him to go outside. And he was like, no, coronavirus is out there. So that's how he
yeah.
viewed it. So I became extremely concerned about his emotional health, so I did not for school upon him or scheduling. So we've been trying to prepare him over the last few
mm-hmm.
weeks, realizing, you know, trying to, you know, make him understand that school is about to start. It will be a lot
mm-hmm.
different, you know, because when we first started the conversation, he's like, oh, I'm going back to school, thinking he's going back to the school building. But I love the suggestion of the book bag because that's one of his big expectations every school year because his birthday is over the summer. He always gets a new book bag for his birthday gift. So I love that I now, and he did receive one this year, so I'm going to use that as one of our ideas now to motivate him to, you know, make that transition that you're actually starting school. So I love, those are great suggestions. Yeah.
And I understand
Yay!
Back in March, the way that we were sent home abruptly, and
mm-hmm.
we
right.
heard about this horrible, yucky bug that
yep.
our
right.
first concern was the mental health of not only our children, but the people who are their parents, because
yes.
many were losing their jobs, and there was a lot of things happening within the home due to the virus. So that
mm-hmm.
was why the schools said that they weren't going to grade the children and just asked us to try to engage them as much as possible. But, of course,
right.
expectations weren't the same then because that was our number one concern. I was
mm-hmm.
online every day doing lunch connections and private sessions with parents, with children, and there were a lot of fears. And so now that I know that we can socially distance and they're able to, you know, socialize more with their peers and get out of the house, but cautiously, their fear should not be as great as they were back then. And
right.
it's still, we still have to teach them how we practice social distancing and in any mm-hmm. event, when we do go back in the building, they still are going to have to learn how to manage that. But we got to tell them it's back to business as usual, because you've got to learn. We're trying to prepare you for life, and education
yes.
is very important. So we're going to make sure that you are receiving your good education, but in the safety of your home. And so as long as they understand that I'm in school, but I'm safe here in my house right now, I think they will be better able to adjust and get back into, you know, the school business.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so,
I love that
idea about the book bag, because I think that's good, too, because when they do go back to school, they'll already have been getting up at 7:30, eating breakfast, and so it won't be such a change for them, and also going to bed on time at night so
mm-hmm.
that, you know, they are able to get up in the morning. Because I'm telling you, the kids, they were going staying up all night long, then too tired to get on, and, you know, I understand mm-hmm. because we just really didn't have a well-implemented plan.
Right.
But I think mm-hmm. things are different now.
Yeah,
and this could
sure.
possibly become the new norm for us, you know. And I'm with you too, Kiara, because I don't think things are going to go completely back to the way they
mm-mm.
were.
No.
I think this is just that adjustment that we're having in life, and we're just having to adapt and move with that. And
mm-hmm.
I think for the most part, many of us are faring well as far as the mental health of our children. I will share this, that back in the spring, it flipped my clients, the ones that were dependent on me to serve them for, you know, extra support, they flipped on me. So all of the extroverted students, they were the ones that were having the breakdowns at home. All of the
right.
children who were so used to being at school and socializing with their friends, they were struggling at home, and they would come online with me and just like, Ms. Brown, I just want to be with my friends. And then my introverted kids that were struggling in school, the ones who were coming to see me, who were having social skills issues, who were having, you know, just a variety of problems in school, were so happy to be home. I would tell
yep.
me, they, oh, I'm so glad that we don't have to go to school. And they were getting online daily, and they were completely at work, and they were like,
that's
I
right.
love this. I don't ever want to go back mm-hmm. to school.
yeah. Yeah.
And so it was just
this
so
was great, Ms. Brown. This was great.
Yeah. You guys, call me anytime you want to. I'd be glad to come and join you.
We sure will, because this was a great discussion. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, I enjoyed it, you all. I am very devoted to
mm-hmm.
working with children. I love working with children more than I like working with adults sometimes.
Yeah,
and
I can believe
it. I have missed working one-on-one and in close proximity with children, but I have developed some great plans to engage them online when school starts. I really had a lot going on in the spring, to the point where parents were calling me and asking me if I could do some things with the kids over the summer, which I didn't mind doing because I knew they needed the support. And because of the fact that they reached out to me and said that
right.
they felt like I had done such a good job with their kids, it was an honor to continue working with them. So, yeah, I spent this summer just really looking at how I can further improve and work on this virtual learning, because I just feel like we're going to be engaged in this for a while.
Mm-hmm. And that is good.
But,
you've given some great tips here today. I know for me personally as a parent, and I'm sure for a lot of our listeners, they can take a lot of what we've discussed here and find ways to apply those changes to their personal lives. Listeners who aren't parents, who may not have school age children, it's still information that's important to know for the reason that we talked earlier about community and the need for us to practice empathy. So be concerned about
mm-hmm.
your neighbors who are preparing for school or your coworkers
mm-hmm.
who have to sit on call with you all day, and they may you know, respond differently because now school has opened and they can't perform the way that they used to. So it's important. You don't have to be a parent or someone heavily involved in the educational system for it to affect you. I think it's probably the one thing in our community that affects us all, whether you're, you know, realize it or not, the state of your community's education, it matters. It impacts you. So this is, I think that's one of the reasons this discussion was important to have, is because we can each find how this rollout will affect our personal lives. So it's important. I love that we had this discussion. We're happy that you joined us, Ms. Brown. We will definitely reach out to you in the future episodes to have you on. It may not necessarily be about education. I mean, you're a little flojo over there, so we might want to talk about exercise. So.
Right.
I would love to. Matter of fact, I went back and listened to a couple of your previous podcasts, and I like how you banter off of one another, and it's like just conversation. And so
but it's been
like
a struggle during COVID, but it's been a struggle for us because we're usually together in the studio. So that was one of our challenges when we started social distancing. Okay, we have to learn to not talk over one another. And it's easier when we're together. We have that, you know, we can feed off each other's energy. But we actually, God put us together. We have great personalities and we balance each other very well because if we're honest, we're two totally different people. And well, of course, we all are totally different people. But anyway, we have two totally different personalities. So it's great that we are able to, our chemistry, I will, and I'm not just saying this because I'm on the show, but we really do have great chemistry. So
I can tell.
Well, thank you for that. We appreciate that impromptu review on the Good Grief Girl show.
Well, I tell you, I would definitely get some, I know some people who would enjoy listening, so I definitely would put the word out.
Yes, we'll
Thank
be sure
you.
We'll advertise this show.
Podcast.
Yeah. So that's good. Yay. And any guests that you think will be good on the show, make sure you shoot that over to us also because we're growing. We love what we do.
Yeah.
Again, but like we said at the top of the show, we're here to serve. We want to offer our listeners some hope comes to different areas of grief that we're dealing with. Oftentimes we talk about grief that we are experiencing and we don't recognize it or identify it as grief. We talk about relationships and how those affect us. Changes in the workplace, I think this is something that we'll definitely focus more on because I think a lot of our community and listeners are experiencing changes in the workplace. So Shanae is always make sure that she reminds us that grief is any change or loss. I think at some point now we're all experiencing some form of change or loss. So it's important to discuss the grief that you know, that responds to that. So
associated.
This is a very good.
Yeah.
So this is good.
Yeah.
So any
I would
closing remarks
you
may go ahead.
I was going to say, I would have to agree with you on the definition of the grief. When I'm doing my grief counseling sessions, a lot of times they're sessions from divorce, domestic violence in the family, death of, you know, death. I had a child who watched his puppy being run over, and it just traumatized him for the longest. Matter of fact, I kept him in that group for like 2 years. It bothered him so much. So you're right. Grief is very, it's broad, but it's faced with some type of loss in your life. So yes, definitely. And I do focus a lot on that too, because of course, you know, with our families, there's always some changes that are taking place.
Yeah.
That's right.
And we don't always talk about it. And because it's an expected part of life, we kind of brush it off as, you know, oh, you'll be okay. You'll get over it. You know, life goes on. You know, you can find another spouse. You know, you can get another man or a woman. you know, in the case of the dog, you can get another dog. You know, it's just not that simple. So that's why it's important to discuss what it is we're dealing with and what we're feeling so that we can move forward in a healthy manner. And for many of us, a lot faster, because now we're led to feel comfortable discussing how we actually feel. So that's definitely one of the goals of the of our platform that we have, is to offer people hope and make it I don't think grief is something that we can ever become comfortable necessarily with, but we should embrace it for the reality.
We learn how to manage it.
We
learn how to manage it.
Yeah.
We learn how to manage it.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah. So this was a good show, ladies. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Ms. Brown, again, thank you so much for joining us today. Do you have any contact information that you would like to share with our listeners, your social media handles, any way that they can follow you to keep an update on what you have going on? Do you put out tips or something like that?
No, I really haven't. I'm on some social media from Twitter to Facebook to Instagram, but I can't even begin to tell you all right now what my you know why? Because I've been sitting at home since March and hadn't gotten on any of those. I have totally unplugged from social media this summer.
That's good. That's actually a form of self care. That's a very good form of self care. Learning when to unplug.
I have some people, though, I think that you would love to maybe have on future shows, so I will email that information to you.
Okay, perfect. That we love. Okay, good. So thank you again for joining us.
You have
been a great show.
You all take care.
Thank you.
You're
let it go.
Helping us reframe grief conversation. Click subscribe and leave your glowing iTunes review.
Please make sure you follow us on Instagram at @goodgrief_girl. Join our Facebook group, Good Grief Girl, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Good Grief Girl.
Then join us here next week for more girl talk that heals.